Are you ready for a little bit of Jonah? Okay? Because there's a book in the Bible that you can read through in, CK, you read it this week, in how long? Half, you read slow. You need to see an eye specialist or a psychologist or a brain surgeon. Okay. She's not very bright. She's a bit slow, right? Don't worry, I'm used to having people burst out crying when I say horrible things. So if you want to cry, then you can do it, okay? So you can literally read Jonah maybe, if you're not CK, in like 10 minutes. If you're James, I think you can read it in 3 or 4 minutes. If you're like me, you read the page at once, you can read it in a second, but you don't remember it. No, you can't defend yourself, okay? You'll get to preach on week 3, then you can be mean to me for all you're worth. So this is a 3-week journey. I've got the privilege to share today. Next week, Fancy, why don't you stand by those lights? In fact, kill the lights. I think you'd rather look at what I put together than my beautiful face. And I know it's beautiful. You can kill that back one as well. Okay, just don't fall asleep, because I do have like a pointer device. I'm going to shine it in your eye and burn your eyeballs. So Gloria will be sharing next week. CK will be sharing the following week. And so now I want to read the text of Jonah 1-2. Are you ready? Open your eyes to page 965.
Once upon a time, in a land far, far away, was a man named Jonah.
Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come before me.
But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord.
Gotta get away from the Lord.
He went to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare. Went on board to go to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest, so that the ship was threatened to break apart. Then the mariners were afraid and cried out to their God.
Yod, we be afraid. Lord, have mercy. Yod!
And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down fast asleep.
You gotta get away from the Lord.
Sleep? Yar! Arise and call out to your God. Perhaps your God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. Yar!
They said to one another.
Yar! Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. Yar!
So they cast the lots. And the lots fell to Jonah.
Yod!
The mariners, they questioned Jonah. Then Jonah responded,
pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea may quiet down for you. For I know it's because of me that this great tempest has come upon you.
So they hurled him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. The men feared the Lord exceedingly. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord.
Yarg! Praise to the Lord!
Yarg! Praise him!
And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah.
Great fish, go swallow my servant, Jonah.
Gotta get away from the Lord. Called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me, and your waves and your billows passed over me. I'm driven from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land where bars closed upon me forever. Yes, you brought my life from the pit, oh Lord my God. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord.
And the Lord spoke to the great fish.
Great fish, go vomit my servant Jonah.
And it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land.
We will see more from our little lion man in the coming weeks, okay? So more from him, I'm quite sure. So in case you didn't get it, here's how the story goes down. So God says, Jonah, you got to go to Nineveh. Jonah's like, they'll never learn. I'm out. I'm not going to do that. He heads in the opposite direction, down to the shoreline, and he says, hey, here's a ship heading to Tarshish. I think I'll take that one. It doesn't take long on his merry voyage before he's been kicked and thrown overboard. Before you know it, there's a whale of a time about to happen in his life. I don't know what he felt like heading down that stomach, much less in the bottom, you know? Can you imagine? I just think about it. Feel it from my entering with all your senses. Shut your eye. No, just kidding. And even being vomited can't be very nice. Have you ever tasted vomit in your throat? Can you imagine what he smelt like? Someone said that he was pure white, and that's where the whole white race came from, because the acids, the fish bile had like bleached him, but it's unconfirmed reports. Let me tell it to you from the Action Bible, okay? And this is as it happened in that old time. So God sends a message to Jonah, prophet of Israel, okay? This is from the NIV. Go to the corrupt city of Nineveh and tell the people if they don't turn away from their sins, I will destroy them. And Jonah immediately makes his way to Joppa, a busy seaport town with ships going to all corners of civilization, and there he inquires of the ship's captain. So, dude, where's the ship going? To Tarsus. Is that close to Nineveh? No, I'm sorry, it's in the opposite direction. Perfect. Having paid for his journey of disobedience, Jonah boards the ship. I'm sorry, God, I can't go to such a filthy, despicable place as Nineveh. But God isn't about to let Jonah get away from his duty that easily. He hurls a great storm at Jonah's ship. This ship is going to break apart in this wind. Throw the cargo overboard, it's our only chance. But the storm only rages on more fiercely. Someone must have angered the gods. It wasn't me, I don't think. Although Jonah knows that God is angry with him, he doesn't admit to the sailors that his disobedience is the cause of the storm. In desperation, they draw straws to find out who has angered the gods. Jonah, what did you do to anger your God so? Nothing. And I intend to keep it that way. I'd sooner die than do what God has asked me to do. Just throw me overboard to my death, and then God will let your ship go. But the sailors don't want to throw Jonah into the sea, and they try to row back to the land, but the sea gets even more rough. We'll never make it. It's getting worse. We have no choice. We'll have to throw Jonah overboard. Lord, don't be mad at us for throwing this man into the sea, say the sailors. And as he's swimming out in the sea, nearly drowning, someone says, hey, look, what is that thing? Jonah assumes that he will drown, but God doesn't intend to let him off the hook that easily. It would have been the easy way out from this predicament, just to drown. Lord, help me, as he disappears down into the belly of the great fish. The moment the sea monster swallows Jonah, the storm calms. At this, the sailors give praise to God, who they now know commands all of nature. But Jonah's not dead. God keeps him alive inside the giant fish for 3 days, 3 nights. Did you get that? That's a long time to stand in someone's belly. It's one thing being a belly ring on the outside, but to be in the belly. And maybe this gave him a lot of time to think and pray, and maybe realize how arrogant it was to disobey his Lord. Lord, I called out to you and you saved me. The waters were all around me, but you kept me safe. You are the one who saves. And God hears Jonah's prayer and makes the fish spit him up on dry ground. Just outside Nineveh, I'd like to say, not just outside Nineveh, more of that in a minute. Still a way to go. Now do what I have commanded you. I thought that was a really cool picture. All the sea creatures have gathered around waiting to eat whatever this fish has vomited out. Jonah, shame. Shame. I think he had to shower three times. And so I want to suggest that today, this first part, chapter 1 and 2, that the theme could be captured in this phrase, Jonah runs from God. I'm going to call him our runaway prophet. Okay? You want something to be done, ask Jonah to do it. You know that he's going to run away. Because look what he does. He starts off there in Israel, heads down to Joppa in the opposite direction from Nineveh, heads out towards Tarshish. God has to bring him back with the fish, and still quite a journey. All of this is unnecessary. Running in the opposite direction from God. Why you no go to Nineveh? Why? I mean, why would he not go? When God tells you to do something, why not go? So there's the question for us this morning. Why did Jonah run? Now, I don't know if you know, but Facebook is not new. Facebook has been around a long time. When I wanted to find out this answer to is, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I had a look on Facebook on the Assyria fan page. This is what I saw. And I hope you can't see some of those, because people are being impaled, people are having their eyes gouged out, and people are being flayed. That means all of your skin is removed from your body. These are actual pictures that were posted on their wall. You can see that 110,000 people liked that. All the Assyrians liked it. I don't think any of the Israelites clicked on the like button for the Assyria page. And 716 were talking about it. Most people were just looking at the pictures. Absolutely hideous. Here is the answer. God says, go and tell them to repent and follow me, or I will wipe them out. Jonah just says, just nuke him. Just send fire from heaven. Forget with this. What do you mean repent? God, just kill them. You'll see that in week 3 when he rants a whole lot. But he's just like, just wipe them out. And so we've got man on the run. Wow. And so what? So what does that have to do? So what about Jonah's refusal to obey God, to go to the people that were his enemies? They had oppressed the Israelites horrendously. So what? Well, let me suggest three things this morning. And I've gathered a little bit of help from a great guy in our movement known as Jim LaFoon. Anyone ever had a prophetic word from Jim LaFoon? It's about as tight and accurate as it can get. He pulled me up in front of the church and said things in front of the church that no one knew. No, none, not even any of the leaders. No one. This is some of his thoughts with... don't mind Jim, I've tweaked it a little bit. Okay, so my happiness is not God's highest priority. Ouch. What do you mean it's not my highest priority? Surely God is all about me and being comfortable and cozy and living large in Israel and happy and cool and eating in the land of milk and honey. I'm Jonah. I'm a prophet of God. My happiness is not God's highest priority. God's priority for my life is his highest priority, and that is that I fulfill his purposes. That God has something for me to do, something to accomplish, not just once in my life, but periodically. Maybe even daily, maybe each hour, God wants something to do. And sometimes he will ask me to do something that, you know what, I actually don't want to do right now. You know when your parent says, like, would you clean up your room? It's like, this week or this month? No, before supper. Supper today or supper tomorrow? Before or after? But like, I've got such a sore arm. I just don't want to. Okay, then you don't have to get any pocket money this month. Oh no, I'll clean it. Just testing. Just testing you. You know those moments when you really don't want to do something. God will ask you to do something, and guess what? Sometimes to the unlovable, to the selfish, to the terrorist, to the enemies, to the murderers, to the worst case scenario, to the Assyrians. Who are your Assyrians? people that God says, you know what, that person needs my love. When I hear some of you out speaking to people that other people would frown upon. You know, I've had a conversation this week with a Wiccan, someone tell me, like a witch person, a Satanist, an atheist, a person who's just ignoring God, someone who's just not nice, maybe someone who's a little too smelly, a real beggar, you know? I'm going to choose whether I do what God wants me to do. God wants me to fulfill his purpose for my life. And sensitivity to obey his voice is what it takes. And maybe we need to apologize and confess that, God, I'm sorry for passing judgment instead of extending love. We sometimes judge people. Jonah did. Those Assyrians. Man, disgusting. I mean, they'll probably slay me and skin me alive. I think you get skinned and then slay. Here's another thing that we can see in the story. That things go really well when we disobey God for a while. In fact, when God speaks, there's always a boat traveling in the opposite direction. There's always something else you can do that feels like better than that. There will always be something that you can do that, I won't clean my room, but I'll move a few things around. You know, I won't speak to that person, but I'll go hang out with the Christians at break, or whatever it is God's telling me to do. There's always a boat heading in the wrong direction, but very soon you're going to hit a storm. And very soon you're going to be tossed overboard. And very soon you're going to realize that there's some danger lurking in this place where you find yourself. And before you know it, I don't have to tell you what's going to happen, but there's a whale waiting for us whenever we disobey God. And so the moral of the story is to obey God when he speaks. You can do the other thing. That's cool, but don't blame me if you get wet. Don't say, Mark, I don't understand what happened. You know, God just got all grumpy on me. Like, well, was there something that he wanted you to do? Oh, yeah, that thing. And I don't know what that thing is for you. I want to say thirdly this morning that God, and I've struggled with this sentence. I was sad like I've said about it. I was wrestling even last night. God will always give us a second chance to obey him. And I think I can say that. Not just because Jim is quite strong on this. Sometimes I want to think like, you know, God's going to run out of patience with me. He's going to Duke Nukem me. You know, I'm just going to like fry you. But I think God delights in giving us an assignment. Here's my fear. If I say that God's going to give me a second chance, most of us are going to say, well, then I'll just wait until the second chance. Yeah, but then you're going to smell like fish guts. And you're going to be spat at or spat out or spat from, spewed out. So if you don't want to be spat, spewed, vomited, puked out, then don't wait for the second chance. But God is so gracious and merciful. I mean, I think God should have just got that great old big old fish to hold its breath for one of those days. And he could have. In fact, the fact that Jonah was swallowed by a fish, do you think that was a judgment or an act of mercy by God? It was, eh? He would have drowned. I mean, I don't think... Even if you swim, how many of you swim for school? I don't think, if you were fell off a ship, like a day's journey out from the coast, I think you reckon you're dead, even if you're a good swimmer. I mean, and anyone who's swam in the currents know that it's like hectic. You just keep swimming and you're going backwards. Normally in a swimming pool, if you swim and you're kicking or flaying your arms, you actually go forward. Some people very fast, others very slow. I always went very slow. I think it was my body. I've got a B body type. If you've got A body type, you go forward. If you've got the C body type, you just sink and drown. You always make, don't ever disobey God if there's boats involved if you've got the C body type. Okay. There's that second chance. Because as he gets on his knees in the belly of the whale, and in fact our line art guy shared the whole prayer basically. I cried out to the Lord as one part of it because of my affliction, and he answered me. Wow, God heard me. God came to my rescue. And after, I don't think that was a fun experience being spat out. I don't know how high he went. I don't know if it was like a little like dribble out, but I think if a whale vomits you, you know you've been vomited and spat. I think it might be just a little while. So maybe I can tell the story from the fish perspective this morning, because there's always a different perspective on this. Here's the fish. Dear, how tough it was for that fish to swallow Jonah until I saw that clip this week. Honestly, I just thought it was this just mistake, wrong fish, right fish in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it happened. But it's tough. It's tough to obey God. Am I right? The times that God wants me to do something and I don't have faith for it, or I just, no, I want to do something for me now. I need some me time, some me space. Maybe the thing that we need to realize this morning as we kind of wrap it up is that I am Jonah. You are Jonah. We are Jonah. Even if you're female, you're Jonah. Listen to this.
I am Jonah.
Jonah, a prophet of God to Israel.
Called by God to take his message to the Ninevites.
An evil, God-hating, tormenting people.
Jonah, running from the presence of God, refusing to take this message to Nineveh.
The people he hated with every ounce of his being.
I am Jonah.
I may not have been called by God to go to Nineveh.
Or any other foreign city.
I am Jonah.
Jonah was not scared of the terrible and vicious Ninevites.
He did not run because he feared for his life and did not want to risk death.
He was a prophet of the Almighty Jehovah and was willing to lay down his life for God. That was an inherent part of the job. It was part of the territory.
He knew God intimately, and he knew that when God sent his message of repentance to a people, he may allow them to repent, then show mercy to them and bless them.
No, Jonah was not scared of the Ninevite people.
He hated the Ninevite people.
He didn't want them to receive mercy. They deserved wrath and punishment.
And in this, I am Jonah.
Though I have not been called to go to Nineveh, I have been called.
I've been called by God to take the good news to a specific group of people.
They are the people I work with, the people I live near, and the people I do life with.
They are my friends, my family, and my neighbors.
People I don't know yet. They are even my enemies.
These are the people that God has called me to model, portray, and demonstrate his great love and mercy.
But I am Jonah, and this is where I run.
I don't hate these people.
It's worse. I don't even care about these people.
Hatred is not the opposite of love. Apathy is the opposite of love.
And apathy is what I have for these people that God has sent me to reach.
I am Jonah. I pray for my family.
I am Jonah. I pray for my money.
I am Jonah. I pray for me.
Oh, that I would connect them heart to heart with God and put them in touch with the message of his redemption.
But I am Jonah, and I am not alone.
It's possible to get stuck at grow, isn't it? And to kind of like either want to just stay, oh, connecting is cool, you know, just encountering God is cool, but reaching and influencing. I think God's challenging us through the book of Jonah to speak to whoever he wants us to speak to. And it was a simple message that he was given. He couldn't say like, I don't quite know what to say. I don't know how to say it. No, just go and just say, repent, or I'm going to wipe you out. You got to find what God's message is to your friend. It may be repent or God's going to wipe you out. I don't know. Let's pray. Father, this morning we know that even though we might think Jonah is like crazy for not obeying you, that we do see ourselves in him and in his story. And there are those who would feel that aren't worthy of your love, or maybe they're just too bad, or no, Lord, that extended family member, there's no ways that I'm going to say anything to them. God, I pray that we would be sensitive to your voice when you speak to us, when you send us to go to our Nineveh, that person that needs you, that class, that group, that, Lord, we would be willing to obey you. And, Lord, we will trust you that when we go in the direction you call us to go, that, Lord, you would work powerfully. But, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for those times when we've not been willing to go. Lord, and I pray there would never be a situation where someone's blood is on our hands. But that, Lord God, we would speak up when we need to speak. Lord, thanks for challenging us this morning through this cool little guy, Jonah. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Next week, let's find out where he is and what he's doing. And so chill and hang. Jeez, that was short.